Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Brother Chupos.
And Sister Amen.
Are you ready, Sister Amen?
I am. I'm coming back to sit down.
We are ready to do our edification audio. We had a long day, but it was a good day.
Lots of busyness.
It was
the
a peace.
Keeps us busy.
Peaceful day. Lots of ministry. Lots of talk of the things of God.
Uh-huh.
Helping saints. Sharpening our swords. All the good things, right?
Well, yeah. And you also got some van work done.
Yeah, we went to a nice place where we could park, and I kind of tore out some areas of the van, and I did some reorganizing because I had some things I wanted to get out to give my young brother in van life. He's in van life too. And then the rain came, and I had just barely, praise the Lord, I just got barely everything packed away, and the rain came in, and I was thankful for that. None of my gear got wet. And brother and I were going to change oil in our cars. We can get to do that, so we might do that another day. And we did get to get on the phone with brothers and talk, so
right. And tomorrow might be my day to tear the inside of the van apart and redo it. It's just nice to, well, you know what it's like in your pantry cupboard, sisters, and your other cupboards, you know, after a while they kind of get cluttered. You pull it all out, reorganize it, re-put it back in there. You know what you got.
Yep.
Use things up. So it's kind of satisfying.
You've been sharing some extra stuff with our young brother. And, just get organized and maybe tomorrow I'll get some more. I got a couple projects on the van and maybe we'll get our oil changed, but it's supposed to rain again tomorrow, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep, we'll see.
We'll
see. We had a good day, and we hope you are doing good. We hope you had a good day, and we just want to share with you what went on in our day, so we'll talk about it a little bit. The brothers and I got on the phone, and we talked about patience. Sister Amen, you listened in on that. Any thoughts on what you heard about us talking about biblical patience? And you can hear the audio on that up at the Ecclesia Gathering area on our website.
Yeah. I thought it was a lot of really good scripture verses, a lot of good insights on it. I think the main point on that one was when to end patience.
Yeah, I talked about my experience has been too many times we stay in situations where our patience is tried when we shouldn't be in a situation at all, like going too long and sin in the body or going too long with people that shouldn't even be getting more of God's truth. And then our patience is stretched because we went too far in it.
Right. Yeah, that's
and
a good
you
good
had
way
another
to look
angle.
At. Yeah, well, the angle I'm coming at, I was thinking about, is probably the one that's more often looked at. So I like the angle that you guys took, you know, looking at it from the opposite side, too much patience, you know, to where it could push you in there. But I was thinking about, you know, oftentimes people need more patience. Well, let me read the scripture verse and that'll kind of preface it. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, I use that scripture verse like if I'm going to lose patience with myself or anything. And I'm a pretty patient person, so it takes quite a bit to push me around and push me over in my flesh. But I was thinking about, you know, oftentimes I think, and maybe you sisters would agree, that the lack of patience can oftentimes be, you know, a selfishness or wanting things your way because it's not going that way. Like you got to stand in line at the checkout or somebody's a bad driver or rebellious children or maybe you're sick or things just didn't work out that way. And oftentimes we're just in our flesh because we want something to be our way. And we need to overcome that. And I was thinking about Galatians 5:22-23, the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I was looking at temperance, it means self-control. So if we're going to lose our patience with somebody just because they're doing something that we don't like, even if it's not sinful and it just affects our flesh because we can't get done what we want to get done, we're not having self-control, are we? We need to have grace and mercy and love because that bad driver out there might be an old guy or an old man or old woman that doesn't have anybody to drive them around. So they don't drive very good. They can't see. And maybe the checkout lady's just overwhelmed and they're short on help.
Right. Yeah, the culture is definitely not patient. That word patience actually means endurance. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to endure a lot of things.
Yeah. So I was just kind of putting that in there that we always want to exercise patience. And even if you're a pretty patient person, we still got to take heed lest we fall because we can get into that impatience or that lack of more like long suffering is what it would be. And kindness, tenderheartedness, gentleness with people.
I think patience is something I need to work on and I'm getting impatient with myself about it.
Oh, okay. Well, You're not supposed to be careful for nothing, which is anxious. So yep. you don't want to be that way, but you want to beat it to death quickly and be done with it, right? Yeah. Kill the flesh.
Yeah, so we talked about it, and we all kind of learned a few lessons about that. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
We also talked about overcoming. And we talked about how Christ has overcome for us, John 16:33. Rejoice, I've overcome the world. So we can overcome many things. And overcoming is to subdue. And so that means we overcome it, we subdue it, it no longer affects us. We've overcome it, put it behind us. So that's quite a tall order. And we get rewarded when we overcome, as the book of Revelation says. So,
oh, we do.
Overcoming is a really, really important topic for the Christian saint.
It is. Oh, I didn't know if you had any. Yeah, I didn't want to cut in on you.
No, go for it.
I was thinking about, you have to go listen to that audio. There was a lot of good scripture verses. I love seeing the different views that everybody brings up with the different verses, the different angles. And it's
that one's up at the Ecclesia gathering as well.
Yeah, it's just very full. And while this goes on, I was thinking to myself, if I had to pick just one scripture verse that I like to use to put my flesh under control where it needs to be to overcome any situation, this is my go-to verse. And I got several of them, but this is the one I'm going to read. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I mean, I wanted to read the whole chapter because that right there, it just wipes out every single thing of me. It makes me think of him and what he's done, and what I'm going through ain't nothing compared to that, and I have no complaints, no nothing. I can overcome all things in Christ who has overcome everything.
Yeah, that's a good
way
to look
at it. That's kind of the one I do.
Yep, that's a good way to look at it. I like that. Yeah. Young brother was telling me that this park that we go to in this area, he was saying that he doesn't go to this park much anymore. And I said, how come? He said there's an old guy there that every time he goes to this park and we're not around, comes up and hassles him. And in this kind of way. So the old guy comes up to him and says, watch out what you're doing there. And he's like, yeah, why is that? He's like, don't try to think you're going to be righteous. You know, you're like in a cult because you think you can be righteous. So this guy's like a total greasy grace, easy believe, you can't never do anything good, God doesn't expect you to stop sinning kind of guy. And he's always, because I'm there with my gospel signs, and I find it interesting, this old man has never once approached me.
I was just going to say that.
He's never once come up to our van, he's never once challenged anything I say, but he's going after my young brother, telling him, oh, you're in a cult, and my young brother said, you know what? You need to talk to my brother, and I don't see it that way at all. And he said, so he just avoided going to that area of the park where this guy is because he's kind of like a homeless, he's a truck-dwelling guy. But he says he knows things about God, but he won't open the Bible and go deep in the gospel. So I was thinking about righteousness, how we have to be careful that we don't discount righteousness just because people say, oh, Jesus died for me and I can do anything I want. That's not what the Bible teaches. 1 John 2:29. For if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. We're called to do righteous acts. We're called to live righteous. Christ is our perfect righteousness. But without righteousness, there's no evidence that we even know him.
I know.
What do you think of that, Sister Amit?
Well, I'm going to kind of look at the fact that that man was really unrighteous, knowing that you as an older man have been with this brother in front of him, and he totally avoids you, and he goes right after who he thinks might be the weaker one.
Like a worker of Satan.
Yep, going right in after the prey.
The brother stood tall against him. He said, I don't want to hear that, and he walked away.
Yeah, he's not going to get anywhere with him, but you just see the evidence of Satan trying to use his workers there. So.
Yep. People always love to downplay righteousness, and they like to upplay grace, and we can live in sin, and we see that. We always ask them in the streets, who's crying out for repentance, righteousness, holiness? Everyone's crying out, grace, let us sin more. So,
I was just thinking that,
It's the opposite of God's character and nature. He wants us to leave and flee sin, and everybody wants to stay in their sin.
Oh, I know, and they go after like that self-righteous thing, and you're so holier than thou. And all these things that they say, you're a legalist.
Yep.
These are things, righteous is good, holy is good.
Yep.
upholding the law, whether it's man's law or God's law,
they make a mockery out of it.
Yeah, they twist it on the opposite side. They dirty it up.
It's because they have a different gospel.
Yeah, and a different God.
Totally different Jesus, yeah. And then another brother was telling me about some guy he met when he was street preaching, and the guy started telling him that we're not supposed to obey the laws. If we obey the police and everything, that that's a satanic system and all this. He's a rather strange man. And it really comes down to there's a thing called the Seven Mountain Mandate, and those false religious systems have come up with this idea that Christians need to take over the seven spheres of the culture, like politics, entertainment, media, things like that. There are seven spheres, education, if I didn't say that one. And we got to overtake them with Christian ideas so that we can build the kingdom of God on earth, and then Jesus can come back. That's what they literally believe, that Christ has to overtake all the kingdoms of the world in order for him to overcome and come back.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you know how long this particular thought has been going on, this particular...
Yeah, it's been around since like the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Very recent.
How many years would that be?
It's like 50 years. 50 or 60 years.
Yeah, well, they're not very successful because I'm not seeing any evidence of what they say.
Yeah, exactly. And that's because they preach a false gospel, a false Jesus.
Right.
And they're part of like the Christian nationalist movement where they want Christians to overtake the government even by force, with military force, which is sinful.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's pretty wicked that they believe this. It's Satan's system of corrupting Christianity more, giving it a bad name. Eventually, they're going to give all of us Christians a bad name in the Antichrist system. We're all going to be labeled as terrorists.
Right.
As these men are willing to use guns to fight and kill for supposedly the gospel, but that's not what the gospel is.
Right. I had another question. Help me out on this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not even this group. Is this the same group that has certain areas of the country that they are see as darker, more demonic, and they go pray over it?
Yeah, these are like the NAR, New Apostolic Reformation type people that believe like Satan has dominion areas, and he has general demons that are considered generals over areas, and you can do prayer walking around it, and you can declare God's name over it and win back these regions. None of this is scriptural.
Right.
It's a bunch of man-made theology that gives people a reason to believe in it, but they're not focused on the gospel, holy living, righteousness, sound doctrine. They're focused on a bunch of man-made false ways.
Right. It just seems to get more crazy, some of their theologies. It reminds me, when I say the word crazy, it reminds me of when we were at Lifelight that past Sunday, and you were talking to that young man, and a bystander said, it was a Mormon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the bystander said, what's with this, what do they call it, underwear, magic underwear or something? And the young man stood there, he said, yeah, he has it.
Yep.
It's like, look at all this crazy theology.
Nobody believed me. I was talking to the Mormon, and there was a bunch of people standing there, and I told them that they have a false Jesus, false gospel, false religious system. I said, and tell me about the magic underwear, right? And the guy goes, yeah, I got it on. And he lifted up his shirt, and he showed us, like, on his stomach, he had on magic underwear. And a bunch of people said, I heard about that. I never seen it before. And he confirmed that Mormons, if you get to a high enough level, you wear an undergarment underneath, and it's like a magic, mystical undergarment.
Yeah, you know, that also makes me think when we were in Montana, we're sitting on the side of our vehicle minding our own business, and this truck driver walks over, has this long conversation with Brother Tupos, and at one point, he was like, I wasn't looking at him because he's a pretty immodest person. I didn't, you know, I was just listening to the conversation. At one point, he was showing Brother Tupos his magic underwear. He was a Mormon, too. Yeah. He got mad, walked off around the other side, came back several times.
Oh, yeah.
Super, super angry.
He was an angry man. He showed his flesh. Yeah, the Mormons are, they're not born of God. And they're just another false religious system, like the Seven Mountain Mandate. And thinking, going back to the Seven Mountain Mandate, well, by the way, the Mormons think Jesus is coming back to America to take over, too. So it's kind of interesting.
That's another thing why I thought about them.
Yeah. They think he's coming back to Missouri.
Yeah.
No, actually, Zechariah says he's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. But Jesus gave us a clear description of where his kingdom was and wasn't. So the Seven Mountain Mandate is really of Satan getting people's focus on politics, sports, entertainment, education. Jesus made it clear, John 18:36. Jesus answered and said, my kingdom's not of this world. If now a kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Christ's kingdom is not of this world. These are Satan's kingdoms on this world. One day he's going to come back and take them all back for the Father. But right now, the kingdom of God is within his people. So, right. Seven Mountain Mandate, all this patriotism mixed with Christianity, taking over the culture, revival. America's got to have revival. No, none of it's true. America is being judged by God already. The world is going to be judged by God. And if you want to come out of the world, that's your only hope. You can't be part of the patriotic system. Mm-hmm. Can't be part of the world. God's judgment and wrath is coming.
Right.
Yeah. What else are we talking about? Oh, we were at the park and we saw a whole bunch of cars pull up. I don't know. This just struck me. It's from my old life. And I saw a bunch of children out there, young children, getting ready to play flag football. And they marked the field all out. And the dads are giving instructions. And they're practicing plays. And they're doing moves so you can't get their flag. And it made me think about what a waste of time that is. I used to do that with my kids before I was born again. I'm no better than those people. But I thought about what a waste of time it is. It teaches them nothing practical about life. It teaches them nothing eternal. It teaches them nothing about God's kingdom. It's all just of the flesh. And it's all entertainment. And I see them wasting their lives. We see it all over the place. And it really makes me ponder how glad I am that God showed me light and that we did answer it and we repented and we became new creations. We came out of that whole vain, dark, false, fleshly, child, idolatrous sports.
Right.
And we left it all behind us.
Oh, I know. I'm so glad to be set free from all that. It's like brainwashing you into being foolish and idle and
following the culture.
And, oh, yeah.
Romans 12 says we're not to conform to the culture, but many of these people claim to be Christians. They conform exactly to the culture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they love it.
Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. That's not redeeming the time.
But they're redeeming it for Satan, not for the right reasons.
And their flesh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What else on your mind, Sister Amin?
Just a couple random thoughts.
Yeah, I just got one scripture to share at the end.
Oh, okay. Well, I got a couple here. Listening to a brother, you were talking to a brother about the possibility of somebody else being interested in more truth and not really sure where the person stood. And the brother said, you know, wanting to be careful about not infer what he's thinking or not think, you know, by the lack of communication or something, and wait until he says what he says.
Yeah.
And I just thought the way he said that was a really good way of putting it. And
that reminds me of he who answers a question before he hears it is a fool. Is that what you were going to read? Oh, okay.
I just showed Brother Tupos my phone. I had
read that verse.
I had it on that note. Yeah, that's funny. Proverbs 18:3. See, we all speak the same thing.
Yeah.
He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. And I was thinking about, you know, godly holy sisters aren't going to sit there and waste their time talking about what if this and what about that of a godly woman. But we got to be careful. We don't think we're something less we fall. We could fall into that. So we wouldn't want to be, when I see the word folly, we don't want to be talking about something or assuming something about somebody unless we know the answer of it.
Right.
We're just kind of wasting our time. And be patient and wait and see what happens and get the answer. That's what we need to do. And redeem the time from now until you get your answer.
Yep, that's good counsel.
Yeah. And then I just had another quick thing. Just a couple scripture verses. I don't know, I just thought this was pretty awesome. In 2 Chronicles 1:7, I'm going to read that. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And I love this, what Solomon asked for. You know, in the secular world, everybody's like, if you could have one wish, what would it be?
Yeah,
and everybody's like, I want all the money in the world or something. But on verse 10, we get to see what Solomon chose, and I thought that was pretty wise of him. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? See, he wanted wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah.
And wow, if we need to be asking for that.
Yeah, amen. Wisdom.
Of the Lord, yeah.
Wisdom's worth more than riches.
Oh, it is. I'd rather have that than a big old title on my name and a bunch of money in a 401k.
Because wisdom applies for life eternal and helps us walk through this life to get there.
Right. Amen. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's just some random things I was sharing. But I do have a scripture verse.
Awesome. Share it.
Okay. Philippians 4:21. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. That means you're greeting them too.
Yeah, we're greeting. I like that. That's awesome.
We greet you, sisters.
Yeah. I just have 1 Peter 4:1-2, talking about Christ who has suffered for us. For as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So we need to kill our flesh, put it down. Christ gave us a perfect example of that, and I like that. It says to should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So we have a choice. We can live to the lust of our flesh, the pride of life, or we can live it to the will of God.
Right.
So everything we do is trying to point our life and people towards doing the will of the Father. Jesus said, I do the Father's will perfectly. And so that's what we strive to do. That's why we teach and edify and encourage and hopefully be an example to people to do that.
Right. I'm going to pick that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good one to do.
It's good and godly things.
Choose the will of God. So.
And let's be zealous to do that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So tomorrow, if the weather holds, we're going to do some more work on our van, and we're kind of planning for our next preach. We think we got a kind of a target preach to go at, maybe a big festival.
Yeah, possibly. We'll see.
Yep. And we're always looking and witnessing every day as we go. I gave out quite a few gospel cards today at places I stopped at. One place in particular, I gave out a gospel card, and a young man took it, and he looked at it, and I said, check out my website. I travel to preach at. And he was like, he seemed really enamored with the card. He's like, well, thank you very much. And sometimes they always set it up on the counter. He put it right in his pocket.
Oh.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you, when I went in the store, and I gave the gospel card to a young man, he was standing there reading it while the other customer was waiting.
I love that.
To be checked out.
I love to see people get the seeds of God's truth, because hardly anybody's doing it.
Yeah.
The culture is so secularized and so churchianized, if I could say it that way. Churchianity's taken over, and everybody has a false view of God. And when you give people the true Savior and call them out of the world and out of the church systems, it's like the people that are seeking go, this seems right. Everybody else is like, what is this? I just go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
They've totally changed what it means to be a Christ follower.
Right.
And so we just want to be examples of all that.
Yep. Shine the light brightly in a dark place.
Amen. Anything else, Sister Alma, tonight?
Nope. It's already tomorrow. It's not tonight. Yeah. It's tomorrow.
Well, we'll see what today brings, I guess.
Later on today. Let's take a big nap, and then we'll wake up and do some more.
It's going to be a nice night. It's chilly out.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to put more blankets
on. It feels really good. It's nice and chilly. Our brother was saying how much he likes the chilly weather. So I can't believe it. We're headed into fall, and it won't be but less than 2 weeks, and we'll be headed working our way south to go see another brother down in Missouri and do some preaching on there. So time is fleeting. Time is short. Redeem the time, is that one scripture said. I read it.
Yeah, you know. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
When you went into the gas station to get ice, we were parked by one of those trees that has those little leaves like that. What kind of tree is that? The little
like a fern tree. It's like a fern tree almost.
And then they're yellow.
Yeah.
A lot of them are yellow.
Oh, sumacs?
No, it was a big tree. But anyway, the wind was blowing. The leaves look like teardrops about the size of your thumb. They're so pretty. They're real small. And there's green ones and yellow ones, and they were just like flying across like snow. And the wind was, they were blowing across the parking lot. And I was thinking about how time comes and it just goes by so fast.
Yeah, and I got a picture of leaves that we put up, you put up at the top of the edification audio. Two of them.
I did one too.
A lot of leaves. You were walking in leaves.
And the video.
She was walking in leaves and make them crunch and stuff. So it's amazing. It didn't seem long ago. It was really, really hot, and it was July, and all of a sudden, fall's here already.
Yeah, so
seasons march on.
Takes us back to redeeming the time.
Yeah.
For the Lord, because it's all His anyway. We want to do that every day.
Amen.
Right, we love you, sisters.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed this edification audio. I would encourage you. We read about this with brothers the other day. Make God your full portion.
I love that word, portion.
I like that. When you think about portion, you think about like food and stuff. But make God your full portion. Put your focus and make it all about Him and not this life, the flesh, the culture, your ways. Make it all about God's ways. It's a good advice, I think.
Yes, it is. It's the best, because He is worthy.
Amen. All right, till next time, the Lord lets us come to you. We hope that you strive on for the kingdom. Check out all of our resources. Shoot us an email. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Seek after Christ. He was crucified on a tree for us. He took the curse away for us. And he's a glorious Savior that will cleanse us, and he's coming back for us.
Oh, yeah.
If we seek him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yeah, let's do that and encourage one another on in that. I love that.
Amen. It is awesome to be encouraged by brothers and sisters. Right. Love you all. Hold fast. May God be praised.
Amen.